worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to listen with us, or to read with us, in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning at verse 17. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting at verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Verses 17 through 30, John chapter 19. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this week that we often refer to as Passion Week, a week in which we in a special way celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to focus on it. And Lord, move upon our hearts and our minds in a new way to open our understanding in a much greater way of what the message of the cross really, really is. Help us to live in such a way that daily you're working and reaching through us and touching many, drawing them to yourself, saving them, helping them to grow in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the understanding of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for loving us with an everlasting love, and thank you for the chance to be able to share that love with a world that desperately needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me say once again to our listeners, we want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners for your generous gifts and for your prayers and for all that you did to help us make our spring share-a-thon the great success that it was. The Lord blessed us to raise a little over $2 million this go-round, and we praise God for his generosity and the way he moved upon so many of you and your generosity in giving again of your gifts, your time and your prayers, and being a part of our spring share-a-thon. So thank you again for generously being a part and helping it to make the success that it was. Let me remind you, all of our listeners, about a new feature that we have here at Urban Family Talk. Again, something we want to invite you to participate in. It's a text feature, and to use it, you can basically text MyUFC to this number, 41411, and you become a part of our UFC text alert group, and you'll be getting just from time to time important information, blog entries, action alerts, or whatever we may choose to send. And we're only planning to do this once a week, so you don't have to be afraid of getting lots and lots of notifications from this. But again, to participate, simply text MYUFC in all caps, MYUFC to 41411 and you can participate. Again, we read from John chapter 19, and I want to invite you to look with us in the book of Philippians as well as we look at our topic for today. And specifically, we're focusing on the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. And as we look at this topic, it may be a little different from the angle that you might would tend to think. But again, we're looking today at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2, this in addition to that portion of the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to share this. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verses 1 through 11, Philippians chapter 2. Again, we're focusing and looking specifically today at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. Now, the fact is, in our culture, the word sacrifice for many people is a bad word. People don't like to sacrifice. Our flesh doesn't like to sacrifice. But the reality is that if we're going to know Jesus Christ and follow him, not only do we need to know what sacrifice is, we're to be living it every single day. As believers, we need to recognize that, like it or not, we're dealing with spiritual warfare every day of our life. And part of it is Satan will try to shut down our life of sacrifice because he realizes that to truly follow Christ, you're going to have to live a life of sacrifice. That is, giving up things that are important to us in order to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often we misunderstand what sacrifice really is because I think of, for example, sometimes you may hear people with rolling testimonies that go something along this line. People talk about the things they gave up to follow Christ. Sometimes people may say they gave up drinking, they gave up drugs, they gave up chasing women or men or whatever they chased, and gave up a partying lifestyle, they gave up smoking, gave up all kinds of things. But you know, those really aren't things to brag about because the reality is that stuff will kill you. All of it can kill you. That's not really something to be proud of having to give up. But of course, by the grace of God, thank God we choose to give up things like that. But the reality is those really are things that are bad for us. Do you know the best thing in the world for a human being is to get saved, to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you're saved, the best thing in the world for you to do is to run after Jesus Christ, to live passionately for God. Because again, the only way to faithfully follow him is to follow him passionately and sacrificially as well. Now, what's the issue with sacrifice, though? Why do we have a problem with it? Well, keep in mind, the fact is our flesh doesn't like to be uncomfortable. Our flesh doesn't like to give up things. You know, the reality is one of the gods of our world is convenience. You know, the fact is, we live in a world where people are always trying to make things more convenient, more comfortable. You know, the fact is, our flesh wants to be comfortable. Our flesh wants things conveniently. Our flesh doesn't want to be disturbed or hurt in any way. Our flesh doesn't want to be uncomfortable. Our flesh doesn't want to have to be pulled out of its comfort zone. But if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to involve sacrifice for us. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, a very powerful and a to the point scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice again, right in the middle of verse 1, it uses the word sacrifice. Listen to that verse again. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, actually, to the non-understanding person, they may think those two words contradict themselves, but actually, they don't. And the best example of a living sacrifice and then a sacrifice who also died was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ came giving himself completely to God and completely in service to the Lord as he served men and women. Jesus came as a servant. He came as a servant who sacrificed. And notice, even as we read from Philippians, it talks about how big of a sacrifice it was. Jesus gave up all the comforts and many of the blessings of living in heaven, a place without flaw, a place without difficulty or trouble. But he came down to live in this dirty, messed up, trouble-filled world with us. Why? Because he came to make a way for us to be saved. So as we look at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice, our best example, our greatest example, is the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He came as a living sacrifice to live for, to be a blessing to us, to make a way for us to be saved. So let's really focus on Christ first and foremost. But there are other good examples in Scripture. Now, obviously, none as good as Christ, but there are good examples. But if you're wondering to yourself, well, do I need to be living a life of sacrifice as well? Yes, you're called to it, and so am I. We're all called to it. And a genuine, faithful disciple of Jesus Christ is definitely going to live a life of sacrifice. So if you're living a life of ease and comfort where nothing ever hurts or very few things ever hurt or things aren't uncomfortable because of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to check yourself, because to genuinely follow Christ is always going to involve sacrifice. It's always going to involve discomfort for this reason. To truly follow God, he's continually going to be one way or another more basically calling us out of our comfort zone to help us grow up more, to grow stronger, to become a more faithful vessel in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, our life is to be lived as if we're a glove, and the hand that fills us is the hand of God. Now, what's another name for the hand of God? The Holy Spirit. We're to live a Spirit-filled life, and our life is the glove, and the Holy Spirit is the hand that is to fill us. That's a life of sacrifice where we're giving up the desires of our flesh and giving ourselves fully and entirely into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's the most fruitful and productive life we can possibly live. Do you want to live productively? Live a life sacrificially giving yourself every day to the Lord and to the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to live a life of sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity for us to live a life of giving ourselves into your hands, a life through which you can work to accomplish your will. Thank you for the blessing of being a vessel through which we can fully place ourselves in your hands and be used as a vessel through which your grace, your mercy, your power is poured into the world to bless the world with your goodness, with your grace, with you. Teach us and empower us to live every day sacrificially, placing ourselves afresh into your hands and listening for the guidance and the direction and the promptings of your Spirit in every part of our life. Thank you for the chance, the privilege of living a life of sacrifice unto you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. We'll be right back.
And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. In a congressional hearing on President Obama's executive overreach imposing gender confusion on America's schools, law professor Gail Herriot explained exactly how the president violated Title IX and the Constitution. California Democrat Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren's only response was to shout, "I think you're a bigot, lady. I think you're an ignorant bigot." This is Exhibit A in how secularists silence opposition. Instead of dealing with the substance of an issue, they shout louder and call names. But when we are armed with the truth, we must be loving, but we must also be resolute in our conviction and vigorous in defense of the truth.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
As Christians, it's easy to fall into patterns where we aren't in regular fellowship with others. We go it alone a great deal of the time. Even when we're members who regularly attend church, we still do little in the way of engaging others and growing together in our faith. Jesus surrounded himself with a close band of believers and spent time with them, teaching, equipping, sharing, and engaging them in the culture of the day. If your fellowship with other Christians has been lax lately because you don't think you need them or they need you, think again. Jesus wasn't a lone ranger in his ministry. Remember, as Christians, we need each other.
New York Times bestselling author Tony Dungy. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Vice President Mike Pence was highly criticized in the media and other liberal areas for taking precautions to remain faithful to his wife. They were incensed he won't share a meal alone with a woman who isn't his wife, nor will he attend a mixed gathering where alcohol is served without his wife present. The vice president should be commended for respecting his wife instead of being castigated. A writer for the National Post said his efforts represent a, quote, rape culture, which doesn't make any sense. She also said the vice president devalues women because he's pro-life, so his actions were sexist. I'm sure Mrs. Pence is very pleased with her husband's safeguards. I'm sure they also protect him from false accusations or innuendos, which the other side would love to use.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
To those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him. We've been mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing for Jesus after all he's done just for me. And I tell you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give you my life. See, I'm giving up the wrong for your right. And I tell you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the music of Brenda Lowe, the song I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. And again, as we look at this topic, I want you to keep in mind, interesting, the people's reaction to the word sacrifice, because again, we live in a world where often we tend to think of it as a bad thing, but the reality is, keep in mind, we live in a world where people who have sacrificed themselves in wonderful ways have blessed the world. On the other hand, when people are so insulated from sacrifice that they have very few discomforts, oftentimes they don't really contribute a lot. The fact is, sacrifice leads to many good things in the world. And of course, the greatest thing was, of course, Jesus Christ came as a living sacrifice. He came and then he died to make a way for us to be saved. But he also came as our supreme example of what living a life of sacrifice means. But now keep in mind, there are other good examples in the Word of God who teach us, in along with the Lord Jesus Christ, about the importance of living a life of sacrifice too. But looking again at Romans 12, as we kind of move forward, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 again tell us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, note this. I'm just Googling the word sacrifice in the Word of God. In one place, it indicated that the word sacrifice is found in Scripture 218 times. Now, often in the Old Testament, there were different types of sacrifice that the Israelites were called upon to make. Of course, but now keep in mind, typically the sacrifices they would make would be sacrifices where they would kill an animal that basically was an animal that was to shed its blood on behalf of the person who was making the sacrifice. But the reality is, the blood of animals really obviously couldn't take away sins in the Old Testament, but they were symbolic, and it was an act of obedience as it looked forward to the one sacrifice that could take away sin, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no other. So it's important then to keep in mind that as believers, we're called to live a life of sacrifice, and Christ is again our supreme example. Sacrificially living for the Lord Jesus Christ today and every day, that's so, so important. Christ came, he lived, and he died. And keep in mind, it uses the word mercy as well. It says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. A life of mercy, a life of mercy. Our lives are to be filled with mercy, mercy that basically causes us to have a compassion for people in need, a compassion for a world around us that's hurting in so, so many ways. Their difficulties, their trials, their troubles that are working all around us in the world, everywhere we look. And so the fact is, everyone's fighting a hard battle. Some battles are harder than others, but it's important to live a life full of mercy. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to live a life of compassion, a life of concern, a life of mercy, where we genuinely are concerned about those that are hurting around us. Father, we lift up to you even as we speak an issue that is apparently taking place, a shooting in a part of the nation. Lord, pour out your mercy upon that situation. And Lord, pour out your mercy upon our nation, Lord, that desperately needs your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. That desperately needs your grace to help bring healing and wholeness to people whose minds and hearts are often so full and dark because of the work and the effects of sin. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your grace upon the first responders, the police, and the other emergency people involved, Lord, and bring healing and wholeness to that situation and healing and wholeness to that community. But more and more, help us to be a people who live lives given to prayer so that your mercy can be poured out upon the land that desperately needs the healing that only your mercy and your grace can bring. Help us to be a merciful people. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're called to live a life full of mercy, because again, the world is hurting in so many ways. The world has so many problems and difficulties and trials. It's important to live a life full of mercy. And also, another reason why we're to live a life of sacrifice is because to really reach out to the people in need in our world, our lives need to be full of mercy and full of ministry as well. The reason being is because the fact is, there's so many needs all around us, needs that only actually Christ can fulfill. The fact is, people often will cry out for help, but many times they're not necessarily crying out to God. they're crying out to the government or crying out to each other or just complaining. But the fact is, God is the means whereby real healing can come. But as we as believers live a life of sacrifice, giving ourselves fully to God, the more we live a life of sacrifice, the more we'll be vessels through which the grace and the mercy of God can be poured out upon the world. The more we basically sacrifice, and keep in mind, sacrifice and humility are very closely connected, because it's Christ sacrificed himself through humility. He was willing to humble himself and give of himself fully to God so that he could be a vessel through which God's will can be done. Remember, when we humble ourselves, we're sacrificing ourselves to be available vessels through which God can work. So what are some ways through which we can live a life of sacrifice? Well, one is, for example, we're sacrificing ourselves when we make time to get into the Word of God and read and meditate on it. We're sacrificing our time. But now keep in mind, remember this, it's a sacrifice, but at the same time, it's a blessing as well. Few things are going to, in fact, the greatest means of blessing in life is the Word of God. And so, yes, you're sacrificing time, but you're blessing yourself when you give time, when you sacrifice time to spend time reading and meditating on God's Word. You're also sacrificing time when you spend time in prayer. But remember, it's on the one hand, it's a sacrifice, but on the other hand, it's a great blessing because you're spending time in prayer, but also you're spending time in the presence of God. There's blessing in the sacrifice of time given to God in prayer. There's great blessing in that kind of sacrifice. In fact, there's great blessing in every sacrifice you can give to God, because in some way or another, you're giving of yourself to God in an important way. Also, another way whereby we sacrifice ourselves is we sacrifice of ourselves when we are willing to be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. For example, when you make it your business to go out someday simply to pass out gospel tracts, or you give of gospel tracts when you're out in public places, is that a sacrifice? Yes, it is. But it's a good sacrifice. It's a blessed sacrifice. It's a blessing to be used of God in that way. Is it a sacrifice, though? Yes, it is. For some people, it's harder to do than others. But the issue of whether it's hard or not is really beside the point. We are to do it because God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to go and make disciples. So is it a sacrifice? Yes, it is. Is it worth it? It's more than worth it. Remember this, all the life that we have to give to God, he gave it to us to begin with. So we're simply giving back to God what he gave to us first. And in some ways, one could even ask, is that really a sacrifice? Because God in his generosity and love has poured out his blessings upon us in our lives, we're just giving back to God what he gave to us first. So we're to give back to him. We're to be a living sacrifice, though. Remember, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices of animals would be dead, would be killed in order to be given to the Lord. But in this day and time, God is calling us to be living sacrifices. Now, sometimes a person may say, well, what is it that we're giving of ourselves? Our whole being to God. We're to give our mind, our heart, our body, our gifts, our strengths, our abilities to serve God. Other things we can sacrifice, we're to sacrifice of in our giving. We have, what do we have to give? We have our time to give. We have our gifts to give. We have our money to give. Is that a sacrifice? Sure it is. But remember this, don't forget, all that we have to give to God, he gave it to us to begin with. And so, again, we're simply giving back to God what he gave to us. So you may say, well, is it really a sacrifice? Well, it is in the sense that you're giving of what he's entrusted to you. But remember, there's great blessing anytime you sacrifice to God. There's great blessing in sacrificing to God. And we're called to live a life of sacrifice. We're called to live that way. Remember, this is really not optional. It's such that God commands us to live a lifestyle of that type. Notice again what Philippians 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to give of ourselves wholeheartedly to God. Remember, he gave it all to us to begin with. And he's not requiring too much of us when he asks us to give it back to him. And the fact is, we can't give too much to God. There's no way to give too much to God. He gave it all to us to begin with. So when we're sacrificed, we're simply giving back what he gave to us to begin with. So many times we need to pray to ask God to help us have the right attitude and approach. Because when we have the attitude that God should be so grateful to us because we've given up so much for him, no. We should be always grateful and full of worship and praise to God because he gave it all to us to begin with. He didn't have to, but he did. And so when we sacrificially give to God, we're just giving back to him what he gave to us, and it's reasonable. It should be something we can do with joy and with thanks, because remember, life is a gift from God. God has given to us sacrificially, so we should give to him sacrificially. Again, it's all from him. Every blessing, every good thing you've got is straight from the hand of God. And, you know, all people often use the word deserve. I deserve this and I deserve that. Keep in mind, be careful what you think you deserve. The reality is, as human beings, one thing we actually deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. But now, in terms of the gifts and the blessings, God in his mercy and in his grace has given us these other things. So the fact is, don't cry too loud out for what you deserve. Just ask God for his mercy and his grace. But the reality is, God in his mercy sent Jesus so that we wouldn't get what we deserve. And so he sent Christ to die on the cross so that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell, but could spend eternity with the Lord. So the fact is, God can't ask too much of us. Whatever he's asking you to give up today, he's not asking too much. So yes, we sacrifice of our time, our gifts, our finances. You know, I often like to encourage believers to know that based on the teaching of God's word, every believer should give tithes and offerings to the Lord consistently. A tithe of your income, that's one-tenth, and offerings far over and above that as well. Now, again, for those that think, well, that's too much of a sacrifice, remember, 100% comes from God. And if he asks you to give 10% or 20% or whatever percent, again, God gave it all to us to begin with. So, again, whatever sacrifice you may think you're making, remember, he gave it all to us to begin with. So we should give generously to God and the causes on the heart of God's heart, on God's heart, because remember, it all came from him to begin with. We're called to give of ourselves generously. We're called to live a sacrificial life. If you live a life where you're striving to be comfortable and for things to be convenient all the time, something's probably very wrong with your faith, because God is always going to call you to a place where he's going to stretch you. He's going to call you out of your comfort zone. He's going to call you into a place where you're going to have to sacrifice to obey him. And if you do everything you can to get out of that, again, you're probably going to be in disobedience in some significant ways, probably in some major ways. On the other hand, if you're going to obey God, then you can expect to be called upon to sacrifice. Sacrifice is to be the part of the life of any faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to sacrificially reach out to bless the world around us. Is it a sacrifice to go out specifically and give out gospel tracts and witness in public places on the street? Yes. Yes, it's a sacrifice. And there's some believers, they've never done it in their life and don't ever plan to do it. Well, again, it's because of a lack of understanding. Again, God can't ask too much of us. There's anything God tells us to do, he's never going to ask too much, because remember, it all came from him. So he can't ask too much. So the reality is, when he calls upon us to do things, even cases where we have to give our lives up for the Lord, that's not asking too much. God gave of himself completely to bring about salvation for us, and we should be willing to give any and everything he may ask of us. Lord, open our eyes to see that you call us to be people that live sacrificially for your grace, for your glory, and for your kingdom. Teach us and empower us to live that kind of lifestyle, a sacrificial life of obedience to you, knowing that it's more than worth it. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking at the topic, A Call to a Life of Sacrifice. We'll be right back.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. All other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says life is a series of choices. Some are easy to make, others not so much, especially when we try to make decisions with distractions. We'll hear more about that today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Everybody knows my favorite food is fried chicken, okay? The gospel bird, my favorite food is fried chicken. So whenever I go to the Atlanta airport, there's this chicken place, Pascal's. I fell in love with Pascal's when I lived in Atlanta, and they got like some of the best fried chicken, chicken that's been cooked in heaven, just placed on earth. And it was calling my name, Tony. I'm working my way over to Pascal's when I hear last call, flight 74 from Atlanta to Dallas. What a brother gonna do? They calling my flight, but I gotta get the chicken. What I did was I hurry up and bought the chicken and took it on the flight. Because I'm sure you would agree, I did not go to the airport to eat chicken. That just happens to be a bonus being at the airport. I went to the airport to catch my flight from Atlanta to Dallas, and you would call me a fool to give up the reason I'm there for a momentary succulent bone. God put you here for him. He doesn't mind you enjoying the chicken. He just says, don't miss the plane. Don't miss the reason I put you here. I put you here for me. Everything else is a bonus to that. And the moment you skip me, you miss the plane.
Learn more about where that spiritual journey will take you once you get on board. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Fred Hammond, the song Let the Praise Begin. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, where today we're looking at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. And as we're in this time of year in which we in a special way celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's very helpful for us to really focus on what it means to really sacrifice, to give up that which is important to us in order to serve the Lord. Because remember, keep in mind, no one sacrificed more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he's our supreme example of what sacrifice is all about. Yet sadly, too often, sometimes people miss it because they're involved in the pageantry of this time of year and the new clothes and the bright colors and the celebrations, but missing the message of sacrifice that Jesus Christ modeled so powerfully and wonderfully for us. Well, in the book of Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, who also is another good example in the Word of God of one who lived a sacrificial life, he shared some very helpful words of insight. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, it tells us, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? What I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Again, that was Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Now, the Apostle Paul is another good example of someone who also, again, lived a sacrificial life. He was one who lived so faithfully and such a committed Christian life was that at this point in life, he was sharing a powerful truth. He was letting it be known that he could live or he could die. In other words, if it was time for him to die and leave this world, he could be excited about that because he was looking forward to going to heaven. But at the same time, he recognized that there was much work, much of God's work that yet needed to be done in the world. So he could be excited about living on, and so he could go either way. He was so living so close to God and such a sacrificially lived life that he could go either way. He could die and go home to be with the Lord, or he could keep on living a life in service to the Lord here in the world. Yet we live in a world where many people are so full of the world and the things of the world that they're afraid to live and they're afraid to die. But you know, the best life you can live is a life lived sacrificially running after the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus helps you come to the place where you can be excited about living and excited about dying as well. Well, again, a life of sacrifice is something God calls every believer to. Again, there are certain things that as we learn to sacrificially make them a part of our lifestyle, they help us draw closer to God, and they make us more and more the vessels, the prepared and able vessels God can use to get his work done. Again, we talked about sacrificing time to get into the Word of God, sacrificing time to really pray, to really spend time with God in prayer. Are those sacrifices? Yes, they are, but they're well worth it. Sacrificing time to be a witness, to go out and witness, and to witness as you go places in your life as well. But also sacrificing your time, your gifts, and finances. But also, I think of this, sacrificing food as well. We think of the word fasting. Now, some people, they think the word fasting is a bad word too. Some people say, "I can't fast." Well, again, many times folks the reality is they've made food a god in their life as well. Fasting is a very important truth, and it's spoke of on a number of occasions in the Word of God. Now, understand this. What fasting does is fasting pushes the flesh down and allows the Spirit to rise up in your life in a greater way. Fasting also can help to improve your spiritual hearing, help you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly. So fasting comes in different forms. Sometimes it may come in the form of you skipping maybe one meal a day or two meals a day. For some people, they may skip meals for several days. Now, I think generally speaking, unless the Lord tells you otherwise, you should continue to drink water when you're in the midst of fasting. But the fact is, people can fast in different ways. But the point is, fasting helps to push your flesh down, and the influence and the voice of your flesh, it lessens the strength of the voice of your flesh, and it causes the voice of the Holy Spirit to get louder and louder, and allows the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life to rise in greater and greater ways. So fasting, it's wise for us to make fasting an important part of our lifestyle on an ongoing basis, you know. So Again, is it a sacrifice? Sure it is. It's a sacrifice of food, but it's well worth it. Remember, any sacrifice God requests of you or that God commands you to do, it's more than worth it. Because remember, a part of it is you draw closer to God in the midst of walking out that sacrifice. We're all called to live a life of sacrifice. Now, as we look in the Word of God, I think of this in particular. As you look in the book of Esther, Esther was a young Jewish girl who she came to know the she came to become queen in a foreign land, and God was using her as a witness there. But an important reality that happened was there came a time in which an enemy of the Jews was able to enact a law that meant the Jews were going to be slaughtered. Well, Esther, whose relative Mordecai was in the gate, he was mourning and very upset about this. And of course, he sent word to Esther and told Esther to go before the king and intercede on behalf of her nation. Esther knew this, that if she came before the king without being summoned by the king, she potentially could be killed and executed for doing such a thing. But Mordecai warned her, you need to do this on behalf of your people, and who knows but that you've come to the kingdom, but for such a time as this. In other words, who knows but God made you queen just so that he could use you to help in a time of need such as this time. And so Esther had to make a decision. She had to decide whether or not she'd be willing to sacrifice her life to help her people, or just to decide, well, I'm just going to try to remain safe and calm and comfortable as queen, and hopefully they won't learn that I'm a Jew. But the fact is, Esther came to realize she needed to make that step, and so she came to a place where she decided, she encouraged the people, her fellow Jews, to fast for her and to stand with her. And her conclusion was, if I perish, I perish. In other words, she was willing to die on behalf of trying to help her people. Well, that's what sacrifice may look like sometimes. But of course, the reality is when you sacrifice for God, he's more than worth it. Well, if you know the story, of course, she went before the king and she found favor in the king's eyes. And just to make a long story short, God used Esther to save her people. And the enemy of his people ended up being executed himself. If you don't know the story of the book of Esther, you need to go back and read it. A powerful and a wonderful story about a woman who was willing to sacrifice her life for the good of her people. God used her wonderfully. But you know, the book of Esther is just one of many books where you see where God calls upon his people to sacrifice in service and obedience to him, to sacrifice their life for something important in their life. In fact, time and time again, you see an interesting principle at work in the Word of God, to where God calls upon his people to, in a sense, go through a death of sorts, and then he brings about a resurrection. You look at the story of Joseph, who in the book of Genesis came to be hated by his brothers who planned to kill him. But then they decided, let's not kill him. Let's sell him off as a slave. And he goes into slavery. He goes through great, great hardship. But remember, early in his life, he'd had dreams from God that he would be a great leader and a blessing to his people. And so before that dream came about in his life, though, Joseph went through a death of sorts. But he held on to God. He went to Egypt as a slave and began to be promoted. He ended up going to prison at no fault of his own, but eventually got promoted from the prison to the palace and became the prime minister of the whole nation of Egypt. Well, how did that happen? God elevated him. But remember, he went through what you might call the principle of that you find in the Word of God. After death comes resurrection. And so when we are willing to humble ourselves before God, willing to sacrifice of ourselves in service to God, many times we go through a death of sorts in the midst of our sacrifices. But remember, after death comes resurrection. The greatest example, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He fully gave himself in service to God. And he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And 3 days later, rose up from the dead and brought about resurrection. He was resurrected and he brought about salvation for people of all times that put their faith and trust in him. But he had to go through that death before the resurrection did come. And many times in our lives, as we follow the Lord and serve the Lord, through the difficulty we may run into as we serve God, as we follow God, the key is keep trusting God. Keep holding on to God. Never let God go. Keep trusting him, because after you go through that death of sorts, resurrection will come. God is the one, again, if we humble ourselves in the eyes of, humble ourselves under the hand of God, in due time, God will lift you up. So again, that principle is at work in the lives of believers as we humble ourselves. So the key is be willing to sacrifice whatever God calls upon you to sacrifice. Because remember, number one, God is worth it. But the fact is, God brings about a harvest of blessing when we sacrificially obey and follow God. All of us are called to be obedient. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Every believer is called to live a life where we diligently study the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're to diligently study the word of God, but we're to diligently obey it as well. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. As James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Is it sacrificial to obey God? Often, if not every single time, of course it is. But remember, God is worth it. Jesus didn't ask of us what he was not willing to do himself. We're called to live a life of sacrifice every single day. And the fact is, but remember, sacrifice brings blessing. Sacrifice brings great blessing when we sacrifice in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of instances where he calls upon his people to sacrifice, but because they obeyed in so many instances, when they chose to obey and sacrificially follow the Lord, their life became a great blessing, not just to themselves, but to their family and to the whole wide world. We're called to live a life of sacrifice today and every day. Sacrifice to spend much time in the Word of God. The harvest will bless you and the world as well. Sacrifice to obey what you learn from the Word of God. The harvest of blessing will bless you and bless the world as well. Sacrifice to spend time, take time to fast sometimes and spend extra time in the Word of God and in prayer and allow the Spirit of God's voice to become louder and louder in your life and enable yourself to hear the direction of God more clearly in your life. Sacrifice by giving of that which God has entrusted to you. Give sacrificially to the Lord. Don't just give what's comfortable. Give sacrificially. Dig deep and give extra to the kingdom of God, the spread of the gospel, to ministers that reach out and share the gospel and feed people that are hungry and reach out to people who are going through difficulties in their lives or people that are in need of relief in some form or another. Give sacrificially and watch how God will bless that kind of sacrifice. People that never sacrifice, again, will never know the blessing that comes from a sacrificial gift given to God and the harvest that will follow. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've called us to be a people that live a life full of sacrifice. Thank you for the fact that Jesus, our supreme example, gave his best, and we in turn received eternal life. Teach us and guide us to live a life full of sacrifice today and every day, and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We looked at the topic of the call to a life of sacrifice. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.